Schrödinger and Dirac were each awarded a half share of the 1933 Nobel Prize, with the deferred prize of 1932 going to Heisenberg alone. Dirac's first reaction was to refuse it because he did not want the publicity. He accepted after Rutherford convinced him that refusing it would generate even greater publicity. While Dirac toyed with the idea of rejecting the prize, Born was deeply hurt at being ignored by the Swedish Academy. "I have a bad conscience regarding Schrödinger, Dirac, and Born," Heisenberg wrote to Bohr. "Schrödinger and Dirac both deserved an entire prize at least as much as I do, and I would have gladly shared with Born since we have worked together." Earlier, he replied to a letter of congratulations from Born. "The fact that I am to receive the Nobel Prize alone for work done in Göttingen in collaboration, you, Jordan, and I, this fact depresses me, and I hardly know what to write to you." That Heisenberg's matrices bear his name is not altogether justified, as in those days he actually had no idea what a matrix was, Born complained to Einstein 2 decades later. "It was he who reaped all the rewards of our work together, such as the Nobel Prize and that sort of thing." He admitted that, "For the last 20 years I have not been able to rid myself of a certain sense of injustice." Born was finally awarded the Nobel in 1954 for his fundamental work in quantum mechanics and especially for his statistical interpretation of the wave function. After the difficult start, by the end of November 1933, Princeton was beginning to appeal to Einstein. "Princeton is a wonderful little spot, a quaint and ceremonious village of puny demigods on stilts," he wrote to Queen Elizabeth of Belgium. "Yet by ignoring certain special conventions, I have been able to create for myself an atmosphere conducive to study and free from distractions." In April 1934, Einstein made public that he would be staying in Princeton indefinitely. The bird of passage had found a place to nest for the rest of his life. Einstein had always been an outsider, even in physics, beginning with his days in the patent office. Yet he had led the way for so long and so often. He hoped to do so again as he came up with a new challenge for Bohr and the Copenhagen interpretation. This audiobook is continued on Disc 11.